bigger series called The Kaleidoscope of Prayer. I don't want to, you know, when you think of TVs, it used to be the black and white TVs. It used to be no TVs. It used to be the radio. In fact, Joe Biden several years ago said that Franklin Roosevelt encouraged the people by TV to not fear anything. Well, they didn't have TVs when he made that statement. So that'll play into a point I'm going to make a little later. But TVs were black and white, three channels, and then started being color. And we can't even imagine a TV show without color now. And then it was, you know, just a regular TV set, kind of like a square. And then they moved it to the widescreen and high definition. And now they have ultra high definition, 4K, now 8K. And so, you know, I think of prayer like that. As I get older and as we grow in the Lord, our prayer should be more vivid, more high definition, more in touch, more effective. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this series is the kaleidoscope of prayer and the many different ways and the many different things and the many different avenues of prayer. And I haven't finished this because actually I could really preach on prayer every service for every Sunday, a different aspect of it, forgiveness in prayer, healing in prayer, your marriage in prayer. You know, there's a scripture that talks about that husbands and wives should make sure that they stay in harmony one another lest their prayers are hindered. And so there's just so many aspects to prayer. And isn't it just a privilege to be able to talk to the King? I cannot call the White House, but I can call the throne room. Amen. And get through. And so, I want to talk to you in the book of James, chapter 5 is the main scripture. It says in James 5 and verse 16, James 5 and verse 16, to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's another aspect of prayer, is praying for each other. I was praying for others today in my prayer time. In fact, here in my notes, I'll just show you. I pull out the little prayer request guide here, and I'll just go right down the list there, and I'll mention those names that are listed in prayer. And so next Sunday, I'll put the new week in, and this is my notebook that I keep with me and when I pray. And so confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So notice the boomerang effect that as you're praying for one another, you might be healed. You know, I never saw that where it says that others may be healed. It says that you might be healed. Amen. And so prayer has a boomerang effect. And what I'm praying for in others, if I pray for others to be prosperous, it's boomeranging back to me. God will make me prosperous. Amen. I like that scripture says he delights in the prosperity of his servant. The effectual, fervent prayer. So notice the word effectual, effect. Effect. Your prayers have an effect. The effectual fervent prayer, not just prayer. It didn't say prayer. It just says effectual fervent prayer, not just prayer, but fervent prayer, attentive prayer, a passionate prayer, the kaleidoscope of prayer. It says it avails much. Somebody say the word much. Oh, you say, well, Pastor Ricky, after all those prayers, what happened in this presidential election? Well, let me just put it to you like this. If we hadn't have prayed, it'd have only been worse. Amen. It'd have only been worse. And you didn't get that. But I promise you, our prayers have kept back unrighteous forces throughout the different presidential administrations. And God is able to do it again. Come by. Can I get an amen? And so, Father, tonight, help us in these seven daily prayer points to get to know you better and love you more and serve you better. Anoint your servant to speak the word of God tonight, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen and amen. So I want to repeat, because some of you were here. It was 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to repeat the first three is what I got through last time. And I'm not going to go through every point I made, but just to remind you and those who are listening tonight for the first time, I'm going to give you six things that you should pray for every day. Six things every day that your feet hit the floor, that your eyes open, you should pray for these six things every day. Number one, pray to avoid sin, or you could use the word temptation. Now, is that not part of the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil, or really it means the evil one. So pray to avoid sin. Psalm 19 and 13 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And these aren't just sins that, you stumble and commit. These are sins that you have struggles with. The sins you struggle, the habits, the, tendencies, maybe some of you are real high strung and you get real angry and rage easy. So your temptation may be to be angry. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being angry as long as you do not sin. You know, I'm angry at the wicked. I'm angry at wickedness. It angers me when I see Hollywood celebrities making statements that are going to ruin the lives of so many people. But keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. John Owen, the great Puritan writer, in the book, The Mortification of Sin, every Christian needs to read. They've abridged it down to a readable American version. That basically that first chapter says you'll either be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And so what a great work that is on the mortification of sin by John Owen. It says here that it will not have dominion over me. So every single day. Oh, praise God. We're Pentecostal. We're holiness and we've got one foot into heaven and our heads are up in the clouds and we don't have to pray to sin. We were sanctified, 53 years ago in the Oral Roberts tent meeting over in the Rocky Mount Fairgrounds, and I don't need to pray that every day. Well, I think we should. Amen. I think it just to be on the safe side, because sin, if anything, is blinding. And we see it in others, but we don't see it in ourselves. And so search me and know me. Psalm 139, if you want to put that in your notes that I didn't mention last time. Psalm 139, the Lord knows my downsitting, my uprising. He knows my thought afar off. Search me and know me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me. And I'm talking about Christians, those who are born again, those who have been sanctified. Jim Forehand, he said, how can a sanctified man who's dead to sin be tempted to sin? He said the same way Adam was tempted. Adam was completely sanctified. Was he tempted? Sure he was. And he fell to sin. We're never going to lose our human nature. We may lose that sin nature, but our humanity, we still have eyes, right? And sometimes there are things out there that just present themselves. Without us looking, boom, there's something that inflames lust or inflames, and I don't mean just sexually, it could be material things. We have ears that we hear and there's even odors. You can walk into, some people, when they walk into the gas station, they're tempted because they used to drink alcohol, but just the smell of a gas station can bring temptation to reach out. Won't hurt, just grab a quick cold beer, nobody will know. But it's temptation. So here's how to handle that. Just pray every day, Lord, keep me from sin. Keep me holy. Keep me sanctified. Help me to be pleasing. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to let my whole life be a thanks and a praise to Him. Can you say amen? Number two, pray to put a guard over your mouth. This is straight out of scripture. Psalm 141 and 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. You know, God hears what we say in secret. And I don't complain out loud. Because I know others are listening. And I don't want to be a bad witness for the Lord, especially when I'm at work or I'm among unbelievers. And I would always just kind of complain inwardly or complain kind of to myself or maybe to my spouse or to others. And then I thought, you know what? God hears it. Amen. No matter who's there. And I don't want to complain. I don't want to murmur. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to lie. These are sins of the lips. James chapter 3 verses 6 through 8. You'll read it in the King James. I'll read it in the New Living Translation. James 3, 6 through 8. It says, "The tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your what? Entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison." And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to church people. Uh-huh, yeah. I think the tongue is the most unsanctified member of the entire body. Not the eyes, not other parts of the body, but the human tongue, because it just says so many things. Please know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Please know what you say over your children and over people. Please understand that I just don't think we honor God with talking negatively. I think we need to they talk about the spin, you know, the presidents or whoever, you know, take a situation, turn the spin around, make it sound better than it is. Well, we need to not do a spin in a deceptive way, but we need to spin it. Amen. We need to take what's negative and turn around and make it positive. Amen. God is able to help us. And so we don't need to make negative statements. We don't need to talk about how, you know, everybody's dying or everybody's getting sick. And, you know, Joe Biden is our president. What are we going to do now? That's negative talk. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be the church triumphant. Amen. And we're going to pray for our president. I don't care if he got in there. Somebody told me the other day and said, wonder how he got elected there, or wonder how that happened. And they said, well, it was an election. And I came back and I said, that's right. A lot of dead people voted and got him right in there. And, and I don't know if that's true or not. I have my suspicions, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be negative. Amen. God's God. God's on the throne. Amen. Be positive, church. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Amen. And we don't stand, we've never stood for presidents. Presidents have stood with us. Amen. On what we're trying to do for the Lord. Amen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. So that we would listen twice as much as we talk. And, you know, given your opinion, your 2 cents worth, just talking. Can't wait to tell somebody. Don't want to spend time in prayer, but boy, you'll spend time on the phone for an hour talking about things in the church, things you don't like, things this, pointing out that. Let's talk to God. Amen. And let's be careful of what we say. Put a guard over my mouth. Just make that your daily prayer. Lord, be careful what I say. Be careful how I say what I say. People are listening, and you most of all are listening. And I want to say things, Lord, that glorify you and show my appreciation and love to you. And all of God's people, use that tongue and say amen tonight. Number 3, pray to be a blessing every day to somebody else's life. Notice I said to somebody else's life. It's not all about you. It is, but it ain't. And I am his and he is mine. And I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according to Ephesians chapter 1. But I'll tell you, one of the things that honors God is when I bear others' burdens. Galatians tells us, I didn't put it in the notes, but Galatians chapter 6, bear one another's burdens. Hebrews, you know, pray one for another. So many times it's all about me, my headaches, my toe aches, my heartaches, my toothaches. But have you ever thought, Lord, help me today to be an encouragement. Help me to do my job well so that others can benefit. Help me to share my faith. Did you know if you led somebody to the Lord, do you know that's a great thing? That's a blessing to somebody's life. When people start talking about their problems or their needs, look for an avenue and a way to turn it to the Lord and say, oh, well, let me pray for you. God is able. And by the way, be a good listener. Can I get an amen out there? One thing we got to be careful with is not be right. me personally is I'm always ready to give an answer, you know, before you've told me, because I'm a pastor, you know, I've got, bless God, for 25 years, I've listened to people and I can, you know, some problems, everybody's different, but some problems kind of have, you know, the same issues and can be solved kind of the same way. So I gotta just stand still and just let, sometimes just people talking out and hearing them out, is a blessing to somebody. Amen. Just listen to somebody on the phone. Just let them talk. And then after that, then share with them, the blessings of the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world. In other words, remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So every day, pray to be a blessing. Lord, who I'm going to cross paths with people today. So those that I cross paths with today, help me to make their world better. Help me to be an encouragement to them. And I know there's been some times when I've come to church or times when I've gone to work where I personally didn't feel very well. Maybe I was tired. Maybe something didn't go just right in my family, or maybe I got some bad news or something, you know, from somebody I loved, or maybe the world news had gotten me down. But I remember many times going to work or going here to church that I would just stop, pull myself together and take my feelings and kind of put them down and say, look, there's others going through some tough stuff and it's a whole lot worse than what I'm going through. So help me, Lord, to be a blessing and help me to hear others and not be so wrapped up in me, wrapped up in my feelings. Now, does that mean your personal feelings don't matter? Sure they do. God numbers the hair upon your head. He cares about your heart. He cares about your lungs. He cares about your body. He cares about your finances. He cares for you, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. So don't feel like he doesn't care for you, but at the same time, please know that he can use you to care for others that he also cares for. You may be the answer to prayer that somebody is looking for. Amen. So that's kind of where we were last time. Pray those three things. There's three other things you should pray for every day. Number four, every day you ought to pray that your lost loved ones get saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and what? Prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. We ought to pray every day for our loved ones to be saved. Now, here's something that is controversial, so I want to be careful what I say. In order for you to pray for your family to be saved, you need to acknowledge that they aren't saved. I think too many times, I don't see a lot of urgency for our loved ones, because one day it hit me. A lot of people don't really think that their loved ones are truly lost. They think that they're just misunderstood, maybe not as committed as they are. Maybe they're good people. But if you think like that, if you're not praying for them to be saved, they won't ever get saved. But for you to pray for them to get saved, you've got to think in your mind, they are lost. You can have a good person as a family member. Our doctrine is this: your human goodness is not near enough to get to heaven, because God is looking for what? Perfection. Yes, he is. But please understand, God is looking for perfection, and who among us is perfect? And that's where my brother faith comes in. Faith not in Ricky Nelms, but in the Lord. And because I know that, because I know I'm a sinner or have been a sinner, then I fling to him for mercy. He forgives me. And as a result of that, I live my life to serve him. So if your loved one never darkens the door of a church, oh, well, they've got health issues and medical issues, and that may keep a lot of people from church. I understand health issues and medical issues. There are people sitting at home right now watching who cannot come to church, who would come to church. But if they are healthy enough for every other aspect of life, and they can go everywhere in the world but to church, that's probably a good sign that they need to know Jesus as their Savior. Because once I got saved, once I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, You didn't have to worry about me going to church. I wanted to go to church. And guess what? I still want to go to church. I'll never forget right when we were shut down. And I sat out in the parking lot. This was 12:35 on a Sunday afternoon. Darnell had to quickly go in there and get something. And I didn't even get in the driveway. I just stayed right in the fire lane, and I had my flashers on, and I was going to move quick if the building caught on fire. But I looked in my rearview mirror, and people just poured out of that building with TVs and shopping carts full, and people were pouring into that building. And at that time, nobody was wearing a mask, and yet all the churches were shut down. I got stirred in my spirit. Come on now. I said, okay. We'll go with it this time, but they're not going to do that again. They're not going to shut the churches down. There comes a time when we have to civil disobedience. What does that mean? It means we obey the laws as long as those laws don't cause us to disobey the law. And this book says to assemble yourselves together, not virtually, not over the airwaves, not via satellite, but in flesh, in blood, person to person. Amen. I understand we have the technology of virtual, and we should use that. Amen. We should use that. And I do. And again, if you are dealing with sick issues, or if you're at home with a loved one that may get sick because you go out, then you must use wisdom and watch church virtually. That is for those reasons. But under normal circumstances, somebody say normal circumstances, as God gives you the ability and you're able, then we should be in church. So if you have a loved one that never, listen, if your loved one never opens the Bible, you never see them reading the New Testament, you never see them ever opening the scriptures, they never walk in the door of the church, and they may say a curse word every now and then. They may enjoy movies that show nudity or excessive cussing and things of that nature. Those are probably, and don't come up and say, oh, well, Pastor, he's a good man and he's a Christian at down deep inside. No, he's lost, and he urgently, fervently, you need to pray that God will open his eyes. As long as you believe he's saved, you're deceived, and you're deceiving him or her or them. Is that okay out here? Pray for your loved ones. If they don't have it, and listen, even if they do go to church, you can have the classic case of a person that does come to church. Maybe they do read a daily devotion, but maybe they've never been born again. Maybe they're just going through the motions. I think it's a good thing all the time just to say, Lord, make your call and election sure. The Bible says make your call and election sure. And it's probably a good thing to pray for your family and your closest loved ones, Lord, that they may know you more. And if they're not saved, Lord, save them. Because if you don't pray that your loved ones will get saved, number one, how is God going to answer the prayer? Yeah, he can save them, but he also responds to us praying that they get saved. And number two, if you don't ever pray for them to get saved, then you won't ever witness to them, will you? Will you? So until I see fruit of a born-again life in my loved ones, till I see that they have really been broken and really gone to the cross and have repented from their own self-righteousness. And by the way, the greatest sin is not adultery, fornication, or homosexuality. The greatest sin is pride. And here's the thing. You get down to your loved ones and say, why should God let you in heaven? And hear what a lot of them say, well, I'm a good person. Then they're not saved. They are trusting in their own ability. It is a form of pride. You stand before a holy God who demands perfection. Well, none of us are perfect. That ain't the question. The question is, what does God demand? And if you're not perfect, you're going to pay the price. Well, how can I get to heaven? Because Jesus paid the price and he was perfect. And so you got to trust him. And so if you ask your loved one, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because Jesus Christ paid for my sins, and I did not deserve heaven, but he paid, took my place. Now we're talking. Now we're on salvation ground. Amen. Now we're on the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. God be merciful to me, a sinner. We can't be like the Pharisee that said, oh, I thank you that I didn't tithe. I thank you. You got to be careful. You got a lot of folks like, well, bless God, I was for Donald Trump and make America great again, and you haven't been to church in six months. And I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about, you know, it's not about to make America great again. That's a good thing. But what's the most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you turned from your sins? Can I get a witness out there? Many of our loved ones are going into eternity without God. And every day we should pray for them. Jeremiah chapter 31 and 15 says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they were not. Stop right there. This is a burdened woman for her children, weeping and crying out to God to save them. And I'll tell you, if we don't have a burden like Rachel here, that'll be a good sermon title, Pastor. It just hit me right here. Rachel's burden. Amen. Rachel's burden. That was, prophecy was fulfilled when those babies were killed in the time of the Messiah. But it also could mean we got to have some Rachels. We got to have some people that are praying for their children. We got to have some people that I am burdened when I don't see my family saved. I'm burdened when my children are my, I say I don't have any children, but I'm just saying, like you, different ones, my family, my immediate family. I'm burdened until I see them come to know the Lord. I'm going to keep weeping and crying. Look at verse 16. But thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Praise God. Claim the promise that your children will be saved. Claim the promise of your grandchildren. Claim the promise of your siblings. Many of you got siblings, brothers, sisters. You say, well, I try to talk to them. I try to tell them. I try to invite them. And they're kind of hard-headed or whatever. Keep praying then that God will soften the heart and ask God for the right opportunity. I kept working on my dad and working on my dad, and I'm relentless. My sister, I'll tell you, she's probably watching tonight, but I guarantee you, we won't be long before we get together, and I'm talking to her about giving her life in full commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, but not sorry. I'm going to keep talking it. That's why I'm here. Amen. That's why we're here, to be saved and get others saved. And I kept working on Dad, and I remember he started coming to church. He would sit right around in here. That was a miracle. Every Sunday he'd come to church for about 2 years. Man, he didn't used to go to church. Not even when I was pastoring. I had pastored 6 years, and he didn't darken the door. And the last 2 years he started coming. And so I remember I had taken him to the doctor, Chapel Hill, and I was going to talk to him. I said, Daddy, have you gotten saved? No, I hadn't gotten saved. I said, don't you think you need to get saved? Yeah, I do need to get saved. Well, why don't we do it today? I'm not ready to do it today. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'd go home. I'd be gone a few weeks. I'd go back home. And I'm like, I'm not going to talk to him about getting saved today. You know, every time I get together with him, I want to bring up him being saved. And I know he gets tired of it, so I'm going to just give him a break today. And invariably, I'd bring it up. Come on. He had an operation done, a day surgery over here at Wilson, and it was a scary thing. And it could have been worse, and he had gotten sick, and every time he gotten sick, it's like the Lord came down and just turned it around. And I'll be honest with you, and then that in 2004, I sat over there at Wilson, and it happened again. And I looked at Daddy. I said, Daddy, and Mama was sitting there. I said, Daddy, I said, praise God. God has brought you through again. I said, but now, Daddy, you need to really think about your soul. You really need to think about giving your life to the Lord. You know, one day it's going to be the last time. It could be me. It could be Mom. It could be you. But you keep getting the miracle. But what would happen if you didn't get the miracle? And he just smiled at me. He shook his head. Y'all know how it is talking to your loved ones. Almost a year later, it did happen. And they rushed him over here to Pitt Hospital. And they say, we're going to put him on the breathing machine. If you want to see him before we do it. And I stopped. I let Mama go in there first because I wanted exclusive attention. Because I meant business. And I didn't think he would. We thought maybe a few days he'd be better. He had a mild heart attack. He just had some trouble breathing. They were going to just put him on the, what is the thing called? Respirator, for a few days and, until his body could heal. And we just felt like it would be fine, but I didn't take any chances. And so Mama got out. I walked up to Daddy. I said, Daddy, I'm going to be praying for you. Love you. I said, Daddy, don't you think it's time to give your life to Jesus? And I just knew he was going to say, no, not now. But he said, yes, it is. And boom, I led him into sinner's prayer, and he meant it. That was my last conversation with my daddy. Last conversation. Be relentless to your loved ones. Give God no rest until he brings the children home. And if you don't pray for them, who will? Nobody knows them like you know them. And don't quit inviting them to church. Don't quit praying for them. Don't quit point blank asking them, do you know the Lord? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? You say, well, it embarrasses them or whatever. Be embarrassed. I'd rather be embarrassed for a few seconds than all of the hellfire forever and forever. And they in hell come to you in judgment and say, why didn't you be more serious about it? Why did you let me go in my unsaved state? And you saw that I never read my Bible. You saw I never went to church. You must have surely known I wasn't a true. I told you I was saved, but I really didn't have the fruits of it. Every day, pray that God will save your loved ones every day. And then number five, pray every day. Oh, by the way, I want to give this to you. Isaiah 54:13, and thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Acts 11:14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And of course, the Philippian jailer, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. If God can save Saul of Tarsus and turn him into Paul the apostle, then he can take care of Uncle Willie. Amen. Who's hooked on Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. Right? Everybody's got an Uncle Willie, don't we? And your Uncle Willie's need the Lord. I've been praying for my wife's uncle, Linwood Wade, and I just don't know if he's ready, and he's in hospice now, and he's kind of a hard person to talk to, but I went by one time and I point blank talked to him about a year ago. And then a few weeks ago there were several people there, her and her mom and myself. And so my prayer over him, hey, here's an idea. When you pray for people, pray the gospel. Dear Lord, heal Uncle Willie. Father, thank you so much. We all were born in sin. None of us are without guilt. We are lost, and forever we will be separated from you in an awful place. But, oh God, you sent your Son, and he took our sins. And, God, if we will humble ourselves and repent of our sins and accept that great gift, we will be saved. Oh God, help Uncle Willie to know that and heal his body. Okay, you see what I just did right there? He just heard the gospel. Come on, people, let's win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. We talk about shouting, speaking in tongues, all of that stuff. Really, the main reason for Pentecost was to win the lost with boldness. Pray over our loved ones and pray. Let's go back and review. Number one, pray every day to avoid sin. Pray every day. Be careful what you say. Pray every day to be a blessing to somebody's life. Pray every day to save your lost loved ones. And then fifthly, pray every day for your leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Joe Biden is in my prayers now. And he should be in yours as well. Don't care how he got there. That's an irrelevant point right now. I am praying that God will open, reveal, and that, let me tell you, God is still God. The prophets might have been right after all. 2024 is coming should the Lord tarry. Wouldn't that be something? God has a way of turning things around. And the Bible does say He turns the evil to good. Amen. What? He turns the curse to a blessing. You know, sometimes I'll tell people at Best Buy when they get so upset because my phone don't work, this don't work, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. And sometimes I'll just look at them and say, you know what I have learned? I've learned it. For some reason, there's a purpose in all this. And God, and I don't say God sometimes. I do if I feel led to, but I'll say sometimes the curse turns into a blessing. And people look at me and like, you know what? You're right. Amen. See, I'm giving people the gospel and they don't even know it. Amen. Hallelujah, people. But I'm praying for Joe Biden. I'm praying that the election, if it was indeed fraudulent, that it will come to light. Because to be honest with you, if the election is true and accurate, I can live with that. But if it's fraudulent, then we have got some major problems in our country. Amen. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Roy Cooper. Pray for and I want to get down to this. Pray for your pastor. Dr. Jerry R. Nelson, pastor and First Lady Teresa, need your prayers. The Bible talks about Moses being up in the mountain and the battle was going strong. But when Moses' hands grew weak, and that tells me right there that even Pastor Jerry, I know he exudes a lot of energy. I know our pastor does a lot of dancing and shouting about, and we admire that. But he is a human just like anybody else. And sometimes our pastor can come across strong and whatever, but he is a flesh and blood man. And please don't take what you see as the strength. That is a good thing. But don't say, well, we don't need to pray for Pastor Jerry or First Lady Teresa. You more than ever need to pray for your leaders. Amen. You need to hold them up before God. We should pray for our leaders. We should pray for our pastoral staff, our youth pastor. You pray for me. Hallelujah. And Darnell. The other day I got to drilling and putting up shelves for Darnell. And I'll tell you what, I needed your prayers. Amen. Every unsanctified thing came to my mind and I started rebuking that devil. It wasn't a devil. It was a drill bit. It wasn't a demon. It was a screw. Hallelujah. I said, Lord have mercy. I'm learning. I'm growing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm tempted just like we all, everybody's tempted. Pray for our leaders. Amen. Pray for our Royal Ranger leaders, our church board, our conference leaders, our presiding bishop, our conference bishop. And if you just knew what the conference bishop had to go through on Mondays, good gracious. Every day, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders if you're a student. Pray for your teachers. If you're married, pray for your spouse. I pray for my wife. So pray for your leaders. My wife is a leader in certain aspects. And, of course, I'm the leader of the home, of course, absolutely, as the man. And she wonderfully submits to the authority of her husband. But at the same time, I also want to be a godly leader and a compassionate leader and a servant leader. Amen. But she's a leader in certain things. She's a leader at school where she goes, we need to pray for our teachers and leaders and EMS and cops and nurses. And folks, I know people don't want to wear a face mask, but it doesn't glorify God when you walk into Target and you don't have your face mask on. And a little 16-year-old girl says, sir, you got to wear your face mask. Mask and you here you are 70 years old, fought a war, blah 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 this, blah 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 that, and you've got to do what some of the 16-year-old says, and I'm not gonna wear a mask. It's my constitutional, bless God, right. I don't have to wear a face mask, and the Pilgrim Fathers died on the, they don't need to hear that. They just need to see a submissive spirit, because that ain't your issue. The 16-year-old girl ain't the issue. The issue is leaders way above her, and we have to pray to change that. Amen. Until then, just put the mask on and give the world a smile. Do I like it? No. Do I think it's right? I do not think it's right. I don't think it really helps the situation. But I got this world out here watching me and looking at me, and I don't want them to not listen to Ricky Nems because he doesn't care about COVID-19. I do care about it. Do I think it's the face mask? No, I don't think it's the face. But if other people feel like it's the face mask and they're going to get all bent out of shape, let me just bless God, put on the face mask, and while I've got the face mask on, say, praise God, the Lord loves you, and let's go on and be a light to this dark and shining world. Amen. I didn't put that in my notes. Some of y'all just put your face mask on, I see. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, the Lord is good. Amen. Number six, every day, pray for wisdom and guidance. Pray for wisdom and guidance. Do you pray every day that God guide you in your decisions? In my research, I came across this bit of information. Dr. Eric Klinger did a study at the University of Minnesota. He determined that all of us face somewhere between 300 and 17,000 decisions every day. 17,000. Now, a lot of these are subconscious. They're the kind of decisions a lot of us don't even think about. Two ink pens on the desk, we decide to use the blue one. We decide what response we're going to give to a question. We decide what clothes to wear. We approach an intersection and the traffic light is yellow. We decide to slow down or speed up. Oh, punch it. Oh, I see. I see. And you got to honk if you love Jesus back there breaking the red light. I see. I'm guilty of that. Proverbs 14. I'm coming to a close, by the way. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way. There's a way that seems right. Oh, what's wrong if my child, I have a child, a grown child. What's wrong if their girlfriend moves in and they have separate bedrooms? There ain't nothing wrong with that. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible does say afford the very appearance of evil. People should never live together unless they are united in holy matrimony. Anything other than marriage is in sin. And if a person dies and they're living with a person, sleeping with a person, well, we sleep in separate bedrooms, then why not sleep in separate homes? Now, God gives mercy. If a person gets saved tonight and they're living together with a partner, God can give grace for separation. But just to live there and some, we got to pray, amen, for decisions. It's not a good thing. Well, why don't we just live together first and then we'll decide if we can get married? That'll never work. Never work like that. Ladies, you move in with a man or let a man move in with you with that kind of term. He will never marry you. He will never marry you. If he does, it's very rare and usually it won't last. Well, what about so-and-so? Their marriage didn't last, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather try marriage and it not last. Come on now. And if you got the Lord, it will last. Kind of get a witness out there. I got to hush up here. It's time. Pastor's itching to get on back up here. Amen. And I don't blame you, Pastor. Come on, if you won't mind. Pray every day for your decisions. Pray every day. Pray what you post on Facebook. Pray your responses to Facebook. Pray that God give you guidance in your job. Just because a new job comes available may not be right for you. Or pray on your own job that you have wisdom to do the right things. Pray every day for wisdom. I close with this tonight, and I never did get to point seven. That'll be my next sermon. So this is turning into three part because you got to pray in the spirit. You ever heard of a guy by the name of George Jones? You know, he was talking about cheating and drinking all the time. And George Jones actually had a drinking problem. In March 6, 1999, sad to say, he was critically injured when he crashed his Lexus into a bridge. And George Jones was drunk, driving drunk. And thankfully, he recovered, and two months later, he had an album he released called The Cold Hard Truth. Because of that incident, he almost got killed, and it ruined his reputation in a lot of ways. Drinking and driving, he wrote a song, I'm Living and Dying with the Choices I Made. And you know, that's the truth of the matter. We are living and dying with the choices that we make. We need to make wise choices on our food, what we eat. We need to make wise choices on our relationship. So every day, pray. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Six things to pray for every day. Number one, to be kept from sin. Number two, to set a watch over your mouth. Number three, pray for your lost loved ones to be saved. Number four, pray for wisdom and guidance. Number five, pray for leaders and those who are in authority. And most importantly, I'm going to finish it right now. It won't take me a second. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. So every single day, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't be ashamed to pray in tongues. Don't be ashamed to pray with the fire of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you want to keep from sinning, pray in the Spirit. If you want to be a blessing to somebody, walk in the Spirit. If you want to keep your tongue from saying the wrong thing, setting a watch over your mouth, then be filled with the Spirit. If you want to see your lost loved one saved, then pray in the Spirit over them. If you want wisdom and guidance, pray until the Holy Spirit prays through you, until you get an answer about the future, your job, your ministry, your calling. He wants to pray through you. If you want to see Jesus like never before, pray in the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me tonight? These seven prayer points will make all the difference in this world that we're living in. Can you say amen? Amen. Pastor, will you come?
Hallelujah. Amen. People ask so many times, they said, why is it so important to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm on my way to heaven. Said, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? I said, I wouldn't want to go across the street without the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Spirit. And here's why. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Pray all of those points that were given.
But yes.
Above all, pray in the Holy
yes.
Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You know, the whole armor of God, most people, they talk about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and they stop. But it doesn't stop there. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Then Paul says, pray for me. So pray for me. Pray for the church. Pray for the pastor. Pray for one another. Prayer is more caught than taught. Come on Friday night and catch it.
Yes.
How do you learn to pray? Get around people that know how to pray. Get around people that can pray the effectual, fervent prayer.
Hallelujah.
Of a righteous man that availeth much. That's a hot, heated prayer. It's not from your head. It's the Holy Ghost
yes.
anointed prayer.
Yeah. Praise God.
Praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Somewhere, you're going to make a transition between just praying out of your brain. If you don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost, that's why it's so important that you have the full Pentecostal experience, because you cannot pray that way. And I'll close with this. My mother and daddy asked me a long, many years ago, they said, were you praying for us? Said, we were going down Interstate 85 and between there at that time in Henderson, there was highway that wasn't double lane between Henderson and Durham. And they said, we were forced off the road by a big 18-wheeler. And said, we don't know what picked that car up. Said, but we, instead of going down the embankment, we went around that truck on the outside of the road. No road there. And came back on it. Were you praying for us, son? I said, I don't know. But I can tell you this. I was praying in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
That's the power
yes.
of Pentecost. Father, we love you and we praise you.
And thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for the word of God, Lord, that we are to pray. And the most important thing about it, Lord, is what Dr. Lester Sumrall taught. He said, just do it. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for an outpouring of your spirit. Lord, we know we're in the last days and now people departing from the faith. There are people that are scared, but God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And you say, I'm going to pour out the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. So there are two groups of people, Lord. We're believing you for a great outpouring. Thank you for the souls that have been saved here at Westmoreland, Lord. Lord, give us more and more. And Lord, let us have an atmosphere, Lord, in an environment that we have created through prayer, so those that are hurting, that are lost, that need healing, that are broken, Lord, that are bound, they can come and they can meet the Master. We love you, Lord, and praise you for all that you do. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. If you didn't sign that sheet yet,